And if I say yes?
Joe Fowler, Interurban Insurance Company.
Oh, I don't need any.
I'm not a salesman. I'm an investigator.
Of what?
People, mostly. I hear you've dug up a guy who might be George Payne.
You have big ears.
I have a big telephone. Mrs. Payne called me right after you left her. I'd like to have a talk with this... Somebody else wants to talk with him?
Yes. Me. Come on in, Fowler. If there's anything left of the guy when I get through with him, it's yours.
You don't sound happy about this character.
No, and I won't be until I know why he's pretending to have amnesia.
Pretending?
Yeah. Why is the insurance company dipping an oar into this?
$250,000. Good reason?
$250,000. Good reasons. That's the amount you won't have to pay if Mr. Payne is still living, huh?
That's it.
Yeah. Well, come and meet my guest.
Yeah, I'd like to, very much.
Mr. Sugar. He didn't lock.
Templar. Look, hanging from the...
Oh.
Well, he committed suicide.
Yeah, it looks that way. It was supposed to look that way. But if he could talk, I think he'd tell us he'd been murdered. Cheerful place, isn't it, Fowler?
Waiting rooms of morgues aren't supposed to be cheerful.
You're pretty sure that the unfortunate victim is Payne, aren't you?
Oh, I didn't say that, Saint. I said he fits the physical description.
But if the lovely Mrs. Payne should tell us that she is satisfied with the identification that the corpse is her husband, then what?
Well, then in all likelihood, the insurance company will be equally satisfied.
And $250,000 moves from your pocket to hers.
That's the way it goes, Saint. Mm. When a policyholder dies, we pay. It's the basic principle of life insurance, you know.
I know. But in this particular instance, a few things strike me as being a little too basic.
What do you mean?
And I can answer that partially as of now, but I prefer to answer it entirely as of later.
You still think Payne was murdered, Saint?
Thoroughly.
Guesswork?
Mathematics. The well-worn problem of 2 added to 2 and equaling 4, only in this case it was 10 and 10 equaling 20.
20 what?
Sleeping pills.
Sleeping pills?
Yeah, 20 sleeping pills, each one guaranteed by the manufacturer to make you dream of Hedy Lamarr. They're in my medicine chest.
Oh, today I'm stupid.
The late lamented knew I had dream pills in my medicine chest. He even said he thought he would need one.
So he took one, and it didn't work. And he lay awake with a bump on the head and a skull full of amnesia, and being mentally upset, he became depressed, and he got out of bed and hung himself.
Fowler, have you ever hung yourself?
Huh?
It's a difficult thing to do. And it's a dreary way to die. Painful, too. You can swing and sway in agony for as much as 5 minutes before you pronounce yourself dead.
Well, but people have been known to do it, Saint.
Not people who have 20 sleeping pills available.
Yeah, see what you mean. If he'd wanted to kill himself, he'd have gone after the pills instead of the cord.
Say, you are a detective.
Yeah, but why was he murdered?
Well, some people call it the root of all evil. You and I simply refer to it as money.
Well, this is where I get off. If he was knocked off for anything, it was certainly not for money. Or didn't you notice that little black bag was still with him?
If the killer had taken the little black bag with its little green contents, the suicide he hoped to make everyone think it was would no longer look like suicide.
There's a lot of sugar in that bag, Saint. And the killer could have so easily taken it. It cost him a lot of money to make this murder look like suicide.
The way I'm thinking, it didn't cost him one red cent.
What do you mean?
Not one Chinese dime. Because that little black bag with its cargo of joy, every last penny of it, will now go back to its lawful owner.
Lawful owner? But who?
The killer. I don't think I'll wait any longer for Mrs. Payne to come and identify the body. I have a sudden urge to talk to a certain bookmaker.
You're going? You're not interested in knowing whether or not Mrs. Payne identifies the guy as her husband?
Mr. Fowler, are you kidding? Hey, taxi! Taxi!
You don't want a taxi, Mr. Templer. Does he, Basil?
No, indeed, he don't, Cecil. You have used your head.
He's used both his heads. Is it recess time at the monkey house again, boys?
He is funny. Is he, Basil?
He is funny now, Cecil, but will he be funny later?
No, he will not, Basil. It is not possible to be funny when you are sleeping on the riverbed in a pair of cement pajamas.
I want you Knights of the Round Table to take me somewhere. Hmm?
Oh, we're going to take you somewhere, all right.
Yeah, I want to see O'Connor. There are some questions I intend to make him answer.
You are going to make him?
Yeah.
Basil, either this chap is screwy or somebody already beat his brains out. Come, Saint. The bus is awaiting in the car.
Well, I hope he hasn't been awaiting too long.
This way, Pigeon. And, Saint, we are just about on the verge of losing our politeness, are we not, Cecil?
We indeed are. What my colleague means, Saint, is don't venture to try nothing.
Yes, Saint, like I told you, people and racehorses, they both have a price. You wouldn't talk for money. Set a price is now a painless rub-out as against one that's full of agony.
Hey, you're being far too generous, O'Connor.
Hey, drive carefully, you hooligan. You want the cops on us?
I'm sorry, boss.
Don't worry, boss. I will see that Basil drives careful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Saint, look, I'll make the offer even more attractive. I'll let you choose the spot where the bullets go.
Oh, really? Now, that's too much.
Frankly, Saint, I'd like to be able to tell you to let you go after you told me what I want. You know, maybe with just a couple of broken bones here and there, some little
nothing,
stuff.
Yeah.
But I can't do it. I can't let you continue alive. You're too smart. And unless you're running way off form, you've stirred up a fire I thought I put out 3 years ago.
You did kill Payne, the paint man, 3 years ago, didn't you?
Well, he owed me some pretty important money. The boys and I called on him to collect, and he said no.
And the boys went into action.
I'll say we did.
Yeah, these two apes of mine, they made with a little too much action. See, I didn't want George Payne killed. Just wanted him scared into paying up.
But Payne died, and the river bottom has been his home these last 3 years.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, that's it. And tonight, he's going to have company on that lonely river bottom. And it won't be no mermaid. Ready to give me an earful now, Saint?
Not quite ready.
We'll make him ready when we get to the shack, boss.
Yeah, I'll be just screaming to talk.
Meanwhile, then, let's have some more of your reminiscences, O'Connor. For instance, what made you so interested in the little man with the black bag, huh?
What made me interested? Hey, you crazy? Here we go. We knock a guy off 3 years ago, and for 3 years, he's laying in a river. See? How would you feel if you see him or his exact duplicate, the same clothes, same everything, on the street one day last week?
I'd feel haunted. So you had the boys tail him for a couple of days, huh?
Yeah.
And one of the places he went was my apartment.
Yeah, yeah. But where he goes twice before that, that's what I get to worry over.
Ah, yeah. He went to the place where George Payne would be most apt to go, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
So you began to worry about it, huh? You didn't want George Payne or anything concerning him to pop up anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
You worried because whatever Payne's double was up to had to be a swindle. And you were afraid that the swindle might interest the police again in the Payne affair, and that you'd be on the carpet again, and maybe this time you'd be nailed as Payne's killer.
Yeah, I knew that you had it figured, Saint. You see what brains do for a guy, though? You are going to be killed because you got brains.
How sad.
Come on, Saint. Come on. Give, huh? Give. Spare the boys some bruised knuckles. What's the swindle the guy who looks like Payne is pulling?
Well, if he's pulling us any swindle right now, it's trying to convince St. Peter that he belongs.
Huh?
Yeah, the man you're worried about is dead.
Dead? Now you're pulling a swindle.
Well, a little sightseeing trip to the morgue will convince you.
Okay. All right, we'll take that trip, Saint. And if the guy is dead like you say, maybe you'll live a little. But if he's not, you're going to be dead a little.
Well, I'm glad you're still here. I see everyone else is gone.
Oh, I dread the thought of going home. After seeing my poor husband in the morgue, I thought maybe if I could work, I'd not think too much.
And what do I do now, applaud?
Pardon?
The performance, the speech you just gave. Mrs. Payne, frankly speaking, you're just about as bad an actress as you are a swindler.
Why, how dare you?
Look, are you going to climb down off that high dudgeon, or must I push you? Your little plot was a honey. It was so simple, it almost worked.
Look here, I demand to know what...
Such a simple swindle, almost stupid. We have a Mr. Payne who has been missing for 3 years. We have a Mrs. Payne who is dying to get her hot little hands on $250,000 worth of insurance money.
Oh, you're insane.
And finally, we have the highly fortuitous appearance of a man who looks so much like the missing Mr. Payne that even his bookie gives him a double take. Plot? Make a deal with the double. Have him fake amnesia. Tell him to call on the saint and ask the saint to find out who he is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Give the man a prop, a bag of money, so that the man can say, I wouldn't be bothering you, saint. I'd go to the police and ask them to find out who I am, except that this money I've got is probably illegal. So the saint puts his fabulous nose to the grindstone and sniffs out that the man is George Payne.
And the man, of course, willingly allows himself to be murdered so that I can collect my husband's insurance.
The man thought he would take over a paint factory. That's all he thought. He didn't know about insurance. So, the man is then murdered.
By me, of course.
No, no. You and I were here together, remember? We were standing over that hot vat of resin at the time the man was murdered.
Well, thank you at least for not accusing me of murder, Mr. Templer.
I said you didn't actually commit the murder, but your colleague did. So you are just as much of a candidate for the chair as he is.
Oh, I have a colleague, have I? With an imagination like yours, Mr. Templer, I'm surprised you didn't make it a whole game.
So the man is murdered, and Mrs. Payne says, yep, that's George Payne, and collects all the insurance money as of now without having to wait that long, dreary 7 years before her missing spouse can be declared legally dead. End plot.
You should write comic books, Mr. Templer.
Yeah, I should. At least the murderers in that business are all made of ink. You know, this whole affair might have given me great difficulty if it weren't for one thing.
Oh, what one thing?
A stupid thing. The man with the alleged amnesia telling me he awoke from his deep nap with his pockets picked dry. And yet the cab driver telling me that he took a $10 bill out of his pocket. A little unimportant and stupid.
Of course, you can prove all the wild things you've been saying.
There's only one thing that still consumes my curiosity, Mrs. Payne. Who is your accomplice, the man who actually committed the murder?
Well, all you have to do, Mr. Templer, just turn around and you'll see him.
And you'll see this beautiful gun I'm holding, too.
Fowler. Yes, an insurance company detective would be a big help in swindling an insurance company.
Stay where you are, Saint. I said stay where
you are. Come on now. Give me that gun. Give it to me.
Thank you.
Run,
run. That won't help, Mrs. Payne. Someday, somebody is going to buy a can of your paint, Mrs. Payne, and wonder why there are buttons in it.
Oh, you.
Don't bother, Mrs. Payne. I've been called it before. What do you say we go drop in on some policemen, huh?
You've been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, in tonight's cast, you heard Joan Banks as Mrs. Payne and Sheldon Leonard as Frank. Ed Max and Tony Barrett were Cecil and Basil. Sidney Miller was Murphy, Lamont Johnson, Mr. Sugar, and Jack Moyles Fowler. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
This adventure of The Saint was written by Michael Cramoy. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring with Michelin Prell and Errol Flynn in William Marshall's production of Bloodline. All you Saint fans will be glad to know the Saint comic books are available on all newsstands. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.